In Psalm 119, verses 9 to 24. And we'll just center our thoughts on verse 18. But I chose to read 1 to 24, but I think I will read that with you in reading it on your own. Lord, open our eyes that we might behold the wondrous truths out of thy law. Lord, make it our desire and be pleased to see us delighting, being instructed thy holy law. Forgive us so many, many times, Lord, that in our reading, we miss the most important part of our reading. Sometimes we just want to inform our minds and not delight in it and be gripped by the power of your word. Thank you for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that can wash away our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a bit tempted to start verse 1 and 2 and then jump to verse 9. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. How can a young man, in verse 9, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the judgment of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. May the sense of verse 16 and verse 24 be our portion as we contemplate experiencing the drawing power of God's word in our lives. I delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. these words expresses the completeness of God's plan and purpose for our lives as His redeemed people. I didn't realize that the hymn that I'm humming yesterday when Pastor heard me humming, and then that's it. Look at what each verse from verse 1 up to 150. I don't know if you have noticed that every verse speaks about the reality of the power of God's word to draw us to Himself and to be like the kind of person, the kind of redeemed people He wants us to be. Look at this summary of all these hymns that we just sang. Every verse, look at the first one. It isn't a coincidence, but look at it. Look at it. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And then verse 2, take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Verse 3, take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. Verse 5, take my will and make it Thine, it shall no longer be mine. And lastly, take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Every single verse in this psalm has the power to remind us of the drawing power of the Holy Spirit to immerse ourselves on this wonderful, delighting experience of meditating, or someone has used a word, masticating, chewing the Word of God. Sometimes when we eat something, because of our desire to eat a lot, because we are so hungry, and we want to really fulfill the desire of our tummy, to be filled so quick. But that's, in my science teacher in high school, I remember said, when you eat the food, you must chew it 33 times. But I haven't done that. When I cook the food that I like, I only probably chew it less than 5 times. And I don't get the value and the delicacy and the nourishment of that food. In the same way, I think that if we're going to examine these verses on this whole psalm, it teaches us how valuable we should take God's word. It has something to address our desire in Matthew 22, verse 37. Those two commandments that were put together as a summary of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, and strength. And the second goes like this, and love your neighbor as yourself. I believe that the reason why this psalm has been written in such a way, is such a way that it's so repetitious, that every word in the Hebrew word, the Hebrew letter, in these eight sections of the whole psalm involves the alphabet of the Hebrew. And someone has said that they did that, the writer of this, the psalmist did that with obvious intention, that the word of God, as they read it, when I went to Jerusalem, every Jew that goes there, they have to really kneel down on that small door at the corner on the wailing wall and read and get a book of Psalm and read it. So that the effect of every letter, of every section, has a power to make the Word of God be a part of their conscious understanding of God's word. Well, I say this because I just noticed the effect that every verse that taught about the delighting and the desire of being drawn to God and communing with God is such a delight. In verse 24, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And I'm tempted to stop from here, actually. What more can I say? But I want to expand it in such a way that the psalmist prayed that God would open the eyes of his soul. That is the whole experience of the psalmist here. That the eyes of his heart, that he might be able to understand the truth to be found in the divine word of God. Perhaps he had read the word of God with a seeing eye and with an understanding heart and hungering completely, continually for a return of this blessed experience and privilege. If we would properly understand and respond to the revelation of God contained in his word, the Bible, we must pray and thank God we are praying together like this. And maybe it's not accidental that every time we have a prayer meeting together in the morning, there is a word that needs to be meditated upon. Prayer meeting without the word is incomplete. That's why I am just beginning to realize how important that when we pray with the word makes us closer in communion with God and with one another. And it has an impact of uniting his people, redeemed people. For that matter, husband and wife as well. So if we would understand and respond to the revelation of God contained in the Bible, we must pray that our eyes may be opened by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the Corinthians concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. At the point of opening our eyes and revealing to us the deep things of God in 1 Corinthians 2, 9-12. Please open that with me quickly. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9-12, it says, Lord, but as it is written, eyes has not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Again, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we cannot understand fully the blessings hidden in the Word of God. One can read the Word of God and become familiar with the narrative and acquainted with the facts of which the Bible speaks. Unless the work of the Holy Spirit help us. It is only when the eyes of the man, of the mind, the eyes of the mind is opened by the Spirit of God that the divine truth contained in God's word can become real and relevant to us, the present reader of God's word. Look at Luke 25, verse 32. Luke 25, or 24, I should say. Okay, verse 25-32. It says, then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. O not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us in the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Brothers and sisters, this is the effect of God's word in the life of the psalmist. The presence of God burns with us, within us, as he opened the scriptures. And then our Lord opened both the minds of his apostles and the scriptures, that they might really understand the wondrous things that are written in the Word of God. Again, continuing on the same chapter of Luke, verse 44 to 47. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, going back to the psalmist in verse 18, as we will now contemplate using that verse, which we are going to repeat in a few seconds, the psalmist was praying for an open eye with such a holy understanding. Not the desire of his brain per se, but the understanding that the Holy Spirit will give to our minds. Okay? There's a lot of difference in that we try to understand it in our own strength. But the power of the Holy Spirit to open our mind's eye to see the reality of the spiritual lesson and message that God is about to portray and give it to us. Now, the first thing that the prayer in verse 18 of Psalm, let's go back to Psalm 190 now and see the verse 18. "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." By the way, I normally use that also privately in meditating upon thy word. Open my eyes. Now, first thing that this opening of the eyes that the psalmist would like to share with us is that it gives us several lessons. Open mine eyes that I might behold not only the wondrous truths of thy law, but that I may behold the nearness, the presence of God or of the Lord. God is a spirit, and no man hath ever seen the eternal God except as he made himself visible or reveal himself in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:9 reveals that truth. Would you please start with me on that verse 14 of John, verse 9. Jesus told him, or said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father?" So what a privilege it is when these disciples, particularly Philip, when he sees with his own eyes the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as Christians, we want to feel his presence as well, like the psalmist. He looks forward. The psalmist looks forward to seeing God at work. Now we in the New Testament, we look backward to seeing and experience God's presence. The psalmist sang of the abiding presence of the eternal God. He rejoiced in the fact that God is always as near as the breath that we breathe. Let's examine 139, Psalm 139 at this point, verse 7. Psalm 139, will you please quickly turn with me in that chapter, Psalm 139, verses 7 to 13. Look at it. "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be the light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Lastly, for you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." This is really mind-boggling, isn't it? And yet, the power of God in forming us in our mother's womb is such a delicate work of creation. And yet, when we are perfect in our creation, being created in the image of God, everything performs perfectly, isn't it? We just eat the food that God gives, and He's the one keeping and maintaining our life on a daily basis. And yet, we take this for granted, as if the food that we eat and the exercise that we keep and maintain to make our body more fit, as if it's our own making. No. It is God who maintains us every day of our experience. And then, opening our eyes, number two, that we may see the wondrous truths. That we may see not only the wondrous truths, but we may see the spiritual resources that are available for service. The great men and women of God have been those who were able to perceive that inexhaustible spiritual resources through faith and obedience. Most of us are blind to the resources of God, as was the servant of Elisha when the king of Syria made war against Israel in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. This servant of Elisha, the following morning when he was about to do his task in behalf of Elisha, he saw these great soldiers and chariots surrounding the city. And he began worrying. "Look, my master, what shall we do?" I think if you go back to that 2 Kings, it will teach us encouraging lessons in here. Why don't we look at 2 Kings 16, chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. Let's see that verse 15.
Chapter 6 or chapter 16?
chapter 6, verses 16 to 17. But we'll catch the context in verse 15. And when the servant of the Lord, or the man of God, which is Elijah, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elijah prayed, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes," the servant, "that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around it. Now, those in verse 16, "those who are with us are more than those who are with them," speaks the Lord's army that will protect and fight for Elijah, for the king, for Elijah's behalf. And to us, in our present life, we feel so intimidated in the various tactics of the devil to overwhelm us with his forces, with his wicked plans to defeat us. But we don't realize that we have an heavenly host, armies, that God can use to defeat our enemies, spiritual enemies. First, to the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Let's remember that. We are not alone in our spiritual battle, but we cannot do it alone in fighting our spiritual battle. We must seek God to send his heavenly host. Now, Paul was aware of these spiritual resources and moved forward in faith, believing that God would meet his needs as the need arose in Ephesians 1:8 and Philippians 4:13. These resources can be found in the promise of the Lord to be with his obedient disciples at all times. Matthew 28, verse 20. Let's look at that quickly. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So those are our spiritual resources that the Lord is teaching, even through his printed word. We can gather wisdom and guidance to lead us into the right decisions to move this work forward for his glory. These spiritual resources are available through the Holy Spirit as well, who came to dwell within the heart of each believer at the time of conversion. 1 Corinthians 3:16 reveals that to us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And the Spirit of God gives us wisdom. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and even self-control. And all other wisdom that we need along the way. Thirdly, open thou mine eyes, O Lord, that I will not only behold the wondrous truths out of thy law, but that we may see the multitudes through the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see that quickly in Matthew 9:36. That we might see the multitudes in needs of salvation. Matthew 9:36. Verse 35, give us the context. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But, verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Are we seeing the multitude of lost like this? We are moved with compassion. That is what this text is teaching us. With compassion, our Lord viewed or looked the needy multitudes in his day. In our day, he looks through us because he lives in us. Without him, without experiencing his salvation, we cannot look with compassion. We must first have that salvation ourselves. We must be born again, first and foremost. With the same compassion, we need to look upon our world and our community wherein we are situated at the moment as a church. We need to pray fervently for God to open our eyes that can see beneath the mask of the affluence and success that are there before eyes for the taking. Not only the down and out. There are professional people who are lost in our business world. They are there in the offices. But what are we doing about them? They are hungering for salvation. They may not say, oh, I want salvation. But when we are moved with our lost condition like the Lord Jesus, the Lord will help us. When we share about his love for the lost and his willingness to save them and by forgiving their sins, then they will be encouraged. Their blindness will turn into light, especially those who are dissatisfied, trying fulfillment and meaning in this world, but cannot. Can you imagine this Friday, every Friday, every Thursday, and Saturday? Just look around. They look for meaning and happiness. But that is a shortcut. That's temporary. But if we offer them the word of hope, the word of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, we do not doubt that God will act on their behalf. Let's pray that we will not only get to this down and out people that is Muslim. There are professionals around them as well. There were people who came here passing by during Pastor Daly's time. I don't know about this man. He gathered two Christians in his office and asked Pastor Daly and I if they can use this. Three people praying at lunchtime, they used this prayer room for 6 months. And later, we found a check of £6,000 in that mailbox. We don't know who gave it. But I have a feeling that the guy is the one who gave it. But he did not say, I live here or there, but he just gave as a gift. But I'm not saying that we are looking for professionals to have love gifts. No, I'm not sort of saying. There are multitude of people. These people in the bar. These people going on Friday nights, ladies and men, particularly ladies. Ladies drinks more than men, according to the statistics. There are many lost souls on Friday and Saturday and Thursday. I wonder if we can begin praying for more professionals to be rich. Amen. Brother Oyami, praise God. Praise God. They are there for the taking. Let's pray that we can go to the offices as well. There's nothing impossible to God. We need to see the people as the objects of supreme concern, like our Lord Jesus did, for the benefit of their souls. And for God's glory, who so loved this world, that he gave his only begotten Son for its redemption. Or in order to be saved from the punishment that our sins deserve. And then lastly, open my eyes, O Lord, that I may see the wondrous truths out of thy law. Not only that, but that I may be convinced of the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16. Let's go to that quickly. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first, and also for the Greeks. Paul believed that the divine power of the Holy Spirit by which lives could be redeemed and completely transformed from their spiritual darkness into spiritual joy or success was to be found in the preaching of the gospel. There's no other way. The good news of what God hath done on the cross through Jesus Christ our Lord, and what He is continually doing and can do and through our Lord Jesus Christ and through His redeemed people. Only when our eyes are open to see the continuing power of the gospel to save the people of our world will be filled with enthusiasm and truly the servants of Jesus Christ. By the way, do we look at the gospel as the power to save? We must not lose sight of this. Sometimes I think we make a mechanical way of putting to people's mind the gospel, just being to put a cross. But let us believe that the gospel is the only way, the power of God, to save people. The good news that the Lord Jesus Christ not only was crucified, but He died, He was buried, and was resurrected. Lastly, open my eyes, O Lord, that I can regain my first love that was lost. Peter, or our Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? In John 21, verse 15. As Peter warmed himself by the fire in the Pilate's great hall of judgment, he repeatedly denied ever knowing the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Service for Christ must come from a heart that loves Christ. If we don't have that love of Christ, sometimes we can do the work without any fruit. Let's examine at this point why people does not come to church. Is it the love of Christ that is in us is the problem? Is it transparent? Do we feel it? Does people feel it? And the power of the gospel that we preach, people feel it? It could be both. Not either or. It could be both. Maybe the love of Christ that's in us is less transparent. And also the power of the gospel that we believe it can save people, perhaps it's getting cold. It's perhaps just a bit of information. Because if we just feed as an information to the minds of people, it will not work. The gospel is the power unto salvation. Lastly, there is no reality of blindness as those who will not see. Blindness, spiritual blindness, is such a reality that needs rescuing in our day. Let each of us take a position by the roadside. From Jericho to Jerusalem, as I am thinking about this, let us look 20 now, Matthew 20, and we will finish on this. Matthew 20, verse 33. Matthew 20, verse 33. Look at that verse 30. That's the context. And behold, 2 blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. As Jesus passes by, contemplating the past of this event now in our day, let us pray that the prayer that this blind man prayed, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. As the Lord had compassion on them and opened their eyes, so will He give us the ability and the power to see the spiritual reality of those who are not yet saved. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.